The views expressed on this Turnbuckle Tabloid live stream or Turnbuckle Tabloid podcast episode do not reflect the views, thoughts, or opinions of the RageWorks brand, including the RageWorks podcast network, RageWorks content partners, advertisers, and affiliates. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
Ladies and gentlemen, the answer to your prayers is here. My name is Ariella Nix, and you are listening to the Turnbuckle Tabloid.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
This summer comes a story of a young man who is transitioning into an older man, or being with an older man. I'm not sure what this movie's really about, but in any case, from the creators of Tight Ends comes a story of teamwork, penetration, huddling, scrambling, and man-on-man contact. Disney presents Remember the Titans.
Ooh, I just got all these acceptance letters from all these different colleges. Just a pick of the litter. Which one will be my first entry into college? Ooh, I can't wait.
Starring Denzel Washington as Coach Manley.
All right. I don't come down here to figure out why my program needs you. We've been told by many of our scouts that you are one of the premier athletes. Just for me to know for sure. Why does our university need a player like you?
Well, of course, you know, I play quarterback, but I also could be a great wide receiver. I have a nice left and right end. Perfect for the tight end position as well. Whew, anybody getting sweaty in here? Ooh.
Denzel Washington in his most pivotal role, striving to be the coach to make his young upstart college team become not only men, but champions as well.
So why do you think we should take you? I mean, I go out there and I can find anybody I want, but you seem to be the guy that fits. What makes you think that you could be a leader on the team of mine?
Well, you know, I have the skills to squeeze into tight spots. You know, I could get right into the seams, you know, cause it's all about penetration. And, it'll probably be the third time that I get into a team and I can go all the way, if you know what I mean.
Remember the Titans tells of a story of a young man's transition into college life, becoming a scholar as well as an athlete. The highs and lows of being such a player.
Oh, I wanted to get into the fraternity so bad. Oh, Gamma, Alpha, Iota, G-A-I. Why do those letters mean so much to me?
And why do I want to be in that fraternity so bad?
Denzel Washington makes an outstanding performance as he motivates his players to be not only great players, but outstanding young men.
All right, guys, when we get out there, we got to make sure we have the hardest D possible. We got to make sure we take our tight ends and penetrate into their end zone as deep and as rough as we can. We got to make sure that we hold them down, make sure that they never get back up, and make sure that we forcibly bring them to their knees.
Oh my God, was anybody as turned on about that speech as I was? Woo, turn the heat down in here, girl.
Disney presents Remember the Titans.
Guys, what are you doing over there? We lost the game. Why are you celebrating and taking off your jerseys and rubbing each other down with cocoa oil? Like, what is that? What's wrong with you guys?
Listen, regardless if we win or lose, it's how we play the game and with each other. Ooh, let's go, girls.
Remember the Titans. Come into theaters near you. And hopefully you are at one with your manhood, because this movie can get a little bit weird after a while.
This is Larry Legend, and you are listening to... This is Larry Legend, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Tabloid. I'll do it again, I'm sorry. This is Larry Legend, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Tabloid podcast.
Give me that fucking mic! Turnbuckle Tabloid, cutting a promo.
Oh, yes, my people, yes. We are back again for another depiction of the wrestling landscape. I hope you join me in this conversation, because we are engulfed in a new area of NXT, a new landscape of NXT, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to be discussing NXT 2.0. What's NXT 2.0, and what are we looking for with that, as well as Big Bruce, what's up, my guy? Yo, Twin, what's good, fam? You know what? Good Dad Andrew, thank you for asking that. I'm going to address that now, as a matter of fact, since we are live and on the Facebooker. So, for you guys who are avid listeners to the show, you guys know that I usually don't rock alone. I usually have my co-host with me, my man Oski. And if you've been listening to the show for the past few weeks, Oski has been going through his growing pains. Oski has realized that actually getting a legitimate, solid job is a task. It's work. And his schedule has become conflicting to what is his livelihood. And it happens. It happens to everybody. I told him I didn't really want to address it, because it was something that that it happens with everybody. And it's just because it becomes a part it's part of life, man. Shit just fucking, you change up everything that goes on with it. You have your hobbies, your passions and stuff. And then when reality hits you, you got to deal with what goes and forth. So with Oski, Oski has to take a sabbatical, because work is strenuous, and I don't think he'll mind me saying so. But not only did he also get hit with work, he also got hit with fucking jury duty. Ain't that some shit? The fucker got hit with jury duty, and didn't get hit with light jury duty like a court case which pertains to car accident or insurance fraud. Let's just say my man got hit with some major fucking case. And I'm like, how the fuck does that happen to a young man like him? Me, when I first got my first jury duty, mind you, I didn't have to do any cases at all. Like, I guess they read with me, it was like, yeah, you're pretty much a scumbag. You can't be on this jury. But he got hit with a case, and that case was pretty major. Whew. I would not want to wish that upon everybody. Hopefully you have a job in which that you have a job that pretty much hold on, I gotta check. I forgot I gotta edit the privacy on this. There we go. Okay. Hopefully it changes up. There we go. Hello. Hello, everybody else who wasn't watching. Hopefully you got a job that does jury duty and they pay you for your time at jury duty. But yes, Oski's on a sabbatical right now, having to deal with an important case. Oh, poor Oski. Sorry, my guy. But other than that, you have me. I hopefully that's good enough for you. I'm hoping that your boy Jay the Red Santee gives you all that love. Which, by the way, guys, make sure you check us out on all the social media outlets. Check us out on Like Group page. Check us out on everywhere you can get TurboCo Tabloid, because granted, we are everywhere. Also, I heard some stuff and people were checking in that on certain websites the past couple of weeks that the podcast was not up and running. And it's because of it went in two folds. It was because of our server who was updating, and it was also due in part because of the podcasting sites. Also, they were not picking it up as well. So bear in mind, slowly but surely, I saw that the numbers went back up again. We saw a slight dip, but it went back up again this past week or so. So thanks for you guys for partaking in that hiccup that we got. So going into, hold on, let me make sure that I share this in the group on a different place as well, because one way or another, this is going to get published. So, okay. So we're going to discuss this week what NXT 2.0. Do you like it? Do you not like it? And if you want to be part of this conversation, make sure you check us out on Skype and hit us up at 315-371-4367. That's 315-371-4367. Phone lines are open, and I'm also going to make sure that I check in on your comments right now. I'm multitasking, ladies and gentlemen. Don't hate me. I'm doing more than one things. I'm going to do what I do. So, before I go into what I watched last night, I'll go into my precursor of my thoughts of what was going into my feelings and my anticipation of what was going to be the new presentation of NXT. Honestly, I have to say that I had hope. I had hope because I'm pretty much in certain aspects, especially when it comes to wrestling, I'm a pessimist, because I do want to see, be it, you know, wrestling, be it my peoples, be it hobbies that I enjoy, video games that I enjoy, I want to see prosperity. I want to see something that says, hey, this can be good. Hell, I went with Cyberpunk and thought it was going to be the greatest fucking game that came out. And lo and behold, woofa. Yes, it was a train wreck. I also said the same shit about any WWE 2K game. And then I found out, I was like, wow, the last couple of years has been a train wreck. But still, you have hope. We all have the same thing about anytime we want to buy a Madden or any fucking sports game on fucking PS4 or Xbox, whatever. Especially with the FIFA series. Then again, yeah, you get disappointed later. I think the anticipation is more of enjoying the fact of whether or not I'm going to like this, or am I going to try to like it and make it seem like it's good? Or evidently just say and tap out and go, you know what? This is fucking trash. I've done that a lot with records too. I've done that a lot with a lot of albums. Case in point, this past week, I finally listened to Drake's Certified Lover Boy, and yeah, not a fan. Not a fan. If I watched the verses, I didn't watch the verses yesterday because I knew it was going to be a disappointment, and I watched the snippets of it, and I go, yeah, thank God, thank goodness I didn't watch this. Right now, we're watching just snippets of NXT. Who knows if I'm going to get fucking blocked for this or not. I'm going to give a shit. If I get taken down, I get taken down. Whatever. Any case. So, going to watching... before I go into the watching and viewing, I go into my thoughts about NXT, and I said, even with last week, they had some kind of... promising look to it, because I said, if it's going to be a mesh of the guys that we have now with the up and coming stars, I can get that. I can understand this. Watching Eli Drake and the new guy, Bron Breakker, which, by the way, I'll explain everything on Around the Square Circle about my thoughts about everything on this show. But since it's on the screen right now, I'm like, I really don't understand what the fuck happened here. So we get the presentation. We saw we shied away from the dark look, the dark ambiance. The dim lighting is gone. Everything is now brighter, fuller, colorful. And we're like, many fans are like, all right. Because we're not accustomed to change. We're really not. We even look at the landscape in which we live it now, especially during this fucking pandemic, and we're like, I don't like fucking change. Don't like this. But we still look at it as that, all right, let's see what happens. Then we hear theme change. We start hearing about roster movements. We get discussions of they want a younger type of roster. It's like, okay, who the fuck is going to be in the chopping block? And then we heard in the past months before this occurred, what was happening. And we're like, fuck, what the hell is going to happen here? We continue on and we get the future of NXT before it happens. So let's take in consideration what they wanted. They wanted the homegrown performance center kind of atmosphere, because why look into the indies anymore? Which, by the way, the indies were your bread and butter for what, 7-8 years? I digress. I guess you wanted to sit there and say that I want to go against what people believe, to say that WWE can't create their own stars, so they have to look into the indies and build it up, which was ludicrous, because even if a person was in the indies, still got to work the WWE style. You got to learn it, and it benefited them. It made more sense to do so. So now we want to shy away from that. We want to shy away from the stars like Neville, Pac, Seth Rollins, Big E. Oh, excuse me. No, Big E wasn't indie. Sorry. Well, you never was indie. You had Seth Rollins was indie. I mean, sorry. Let me curtail to the indie guys. You had the Garganos. You had the Adam Coles. You had the majority of the roster was indie guys. And it wasn't shameful to say that the guys that you picked for a push on the NXT roster that came from the PC wasn't really working. It's understandable. I get that. That's fine. And it just goes to show that that maybe that wasn't a look against you. Maybe it was because you guys were getting indie personnel that actually knew what the fuck they were doing. And you saw it. You saw it when you had the talent that went through there, especially through the FCW days that were indie guys. You saw it when you had these big marquee matches that were drawing numbers and viewership. Because the guys that you brought in for NXT actually had some preparation, actually knew what the fuck they were doing. The Kevin Steens. You had the Samoa Joes. You had Sami Zayn's, all those guys. It made you look better because it made you look like you knew what the fuck you were doing to bring in people like this. But now you bring in an onslaught of performance center guys and women. Now you're hoping that this is going to be the future, because now it's maybe I could pay them less, give them opportunities, and if or when they become stars, I can honestly say that, yeah, I did that. But you did that already. Look at Roman. Roman is a fucking megastar. You made that. You did that with Cena. He's a megastar. You did it with Big E. He's a megastar. You did it with Kofi. He's a megastar. These are guys that you brought in. You're homegrown. But now you're looking at it that maybe it was for naught. Right now I'm looking at Cameron Grimes and I'm looking at Gargano and I'm nervous to know what their futures are going to be. Austin Theory, look at him. He looks like he could be a fucking megastar. Look at him. But you didn't make him. He's an indie star. Evolve fucking made him. Look at Priest. You didn't make him. He's a Ring of Honor indie star. JD's talking about most of the NXT indie guys should have went straight to the main roster, but they brought them in to build them up to use them as a third brand, and all the guys that weren't indie guys got pushed to the back. Listen, and this was the whole making of Triple H, because you know why? Triple H knew what he should have been doing when it came to building that brand. Let's be honest here. He knew when he looked at the PC, probably 7 out of 10 of those people are going to be jobbing out. And that's not a bad thing. Jobbers are good. It's healthy to have that. If you could pull 3 out of 10 out of the PC that could be something, that's not a bad thing. And if the rest of the roster pushes it up, it's fucking great. It's awesome. But then now we're looking at We're deliberating on what's going to happen to the product in a whole. Not NXT, but just WWE in a whole. We need to shake it up. We need to do something different. We need to implement a different view from what we've been doing for the past 7 to 8 years, because it's not working. Why wasn't it working? Why wasn't it working? Because you guys thought that you could go head to head with a product that was fresh and new in wrestling fans' eyes, and they wanted to shift the scope to that product. Hell, I sat there and said, I don't think it's going to be that bad. And it wasn't for some time. But the problem was that you continue to push bad business, bad storylines. The only thing that everybody gave a fuck about generally was the pay-per-view, was the takeovers. People could have sat there and not watched NXT for weeks on end but knew if they watched the pay-per-view, if they watched the takeover, it was going to be phenomenal. It would blow them out the seats. And that's exactly what it was. People didn't realize that if I watched this every week, I wouldn't miss anything. I didn't care. I didn't have to watch this. All I have to watch is the takeovers. So all that really matters. But then we get the big matches. We get the head-to-heads that go on every week on NXT. And it wasn't enough to compete weekly with AEW. Because like I said, AEW Dynamite was fresh, new. They were bringing in people that were cut off by WWE. They were bringing in different types of matches. They were bringing in indie style with good old wrestling, in which people were missing because we were still getting sports entertainment. But you get the different flavors, and plus the teasing of that other entities from other promotions could come in your product and do this. And WWE wasn't doing that, especially when it came to NXT. We only had one match that we saw that quote unquote forbidden door happen. And that was with Tyler Breeze and Jushin Thunder Liger. It was cool when we saw Kushida pop up. It was cool when we saw Nakamura come in, but we already knew they were signed. It wasn't that teasing that they had like that Dynamite was doing. So now we get the entrance of NXT not doing as well as people thought that they would. Now you're on a network going head to head with you know, as NXT and WWE would say, it's not competition. Let's be for real. But then it was all about, well, you know, those are our developmental. It was kind of disrespectful for the guys who were in NXT who weren't developmental, who were like the Adam Coles, who were the Kyle O'Reillys, who were the Bobby Lashley's, the Samoa Joe's. They weren't developmental. These guys were already seasoned vets. So it's kind of a disrespect to say that. But even still, why weren't we pulling off high caliber matches every week on NXT to compete against Dynamite? Why weren't we doing that? Why was that not happening? JD says, AEW would be 100% better if the storytelling was better and consistent. Oh, definitely. I say that every week. Always. I say that every fucking week about that. But NXT is not that far off the boat either. Because what do they do? They don't give you consistent wrestling when that's what the show was built upon early on. Now we've gotten silly. Now we've gotten ridiculous. We've gotten to a semi-serial killer who's getting married. We get intangibles to where that a wrestler who should be destroying the whole masses now is just got injured and we don't know why. We get storylines that aren't consistent and just as bad on NXT. But if we've always looked at NXT as a lock, stock, and barrel roster, that should be killing it. So then we move on to what's going on this past week. We get NXT 2.0. I swear, I said that, and it was almost like I had a cat's sandy tongue as it went across across my lips and my teeth. It almost hurt saying that. And to have to hear the wrestlers repeat that during the show was dreadful. It was awful. Because as always, it has to be the reminder of this is what it is. Now we get the new presentation. We get the, you know, the lively color. We get the new setup, the way the arena looks, which by the way, I'm not offended by the way the arena looks. I like that setting. I'm not even mad about the look of the arena with it being bright and such. I'm not even mad at that. I'm looking at who are we pitching this product to? Who is the demo that should be watching this or wants to watch this? Who should be watching this? Because with me, I'm looking at it and I go, I don't understand if this is something that's my bottle of beer. I don't know if that's my class of bottle of beer. I don't know. I mean, you should say a cup of tea, but I'm not a tea drinker. So, I'm not sure whether or not this is something that will gravitate to a large wrestling fan base. I'm thinking that maybe this is for a younger audience. I think that maybe purists would like this. Maybe. I know a lot of people who were on social media recently, this past day or so, were like, I don't get it. I don't understand this. What are they doing here? And then on the flip side, you had some that were like, oh, this kind of reminds me of the old days of Saturday Night WCW when they had their show. It was more intimate. It looked like a studio show and such. I'm not getting any of those vibes from that. And even so, why would I want those vibes? I think I'm looking more the aspect to where, in my aspect, the way I think about it is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I didn't see anything wrong with the look, the aesthetic of the show visually. Maybe if you wanted to change the, hold on a second, let me see if I get this call in. Turnbuckle Tabloid, who's this? Turnbuckle Tabloid, who's this? Yay, Josie's boy, what's up, Papa?
I'm good, brother. How you feeling, man?
Oh, please. I'm so conflicted because I don't know whether or not I should be talking about NXT 2.0 or I should be talking about the verses that just happened the other night.
Either both of them are a joke.
Exactly. I would have been mad if Ashanti jumped out on any show.
Bro, you ain't never lied. I ain't gonna hold you on that one. If she jumped out and then something else jumped out, too. I do want to piggyback off of what you were saying. You were saying you don't get the demographic now.
Right.
And I agree with you. Like, the way I've been looking at wrestling as a whole, it's like...
As a whole.
Excuse me. No pun intended.
We know a few of those back in the days.
But I'm looking at it like, we all know Vince, well, us, the people who are, I'm going to say 30 and up. Right? Mm. I'm going to say 30 and up. The people who are 30 and up know Vince is a man of, if it ain't broke, I'm not going to fix it. I'm just going to keep throwing spaghetti at the wall to see what sticks.
Mm.
So remember in 90, I want to say it was like 90, what, 96, 97, when the whole new generation thing happened, right before the Attitude Era?
Mm.
Vince knew, all right, Vince has this thing where he just wants his cash pot. And he had it in the 80s, you know, he had the Hogans and the Warriors, and he had the characters already built up, right? In the 90s, he was just throwing spaghetti at the wall. He just so happened to have the great people in there, you know, with the Shawn Michaels and the Bret Hart and folding on Diesel and Razor Ramon and things of that nature. Right now, because of the internet, he has nothing to stick because there's too many voices in his head.
Right.
So instead of paying attention to all these, and it's impossible to please a wrestling fan, so he can't pay attention to all these people. He can't, for some reason, I don't know why, even though he's been the man for the longest, he can't listen to Triple H because Triple H is like the new guard. He's the new guard. Vince is like, I've done this. It's ego. It's like, I've done this. My father did this. It's the lineage. Like, you can't tell me what works. You know? So now, for the better part of the past 20 years, you have Vince just kind of running with, all right, if they're big and they're sweaty, I'm going to go here. I'm not going to pay attention to no new guys. And then maybe something cracks. It was like, oh, y'all like some of these indie dudes? Let me give you AJ Styles. Okay, he's cool. I like him. I'm not going to give him too much, but I like him. I'm going to give him a little bit of something. So he has these little, you know how Tupac says that rose that grows in the concrete?
Right.
Like the few indie guys that made it, those were the roses. But you see where Ricochet is right now. And where he's been for the longest since after he left NXT. Right now, Vince is just on a pure ego trip. He wants to see what he can do to just make it as clean and as beautiful as possible. He knows you can't please an adult fan. You can't. It's almost impossible to please an adult fan that's on the internet. So he wants to move to the back to that teenage thing. It's like, I'm still going to give you the hard hitting. So these kids believe it's real, even though they know it's fake. These kids are going to believe it's real. And by the time they're fucking 20, they'll be invested in everything already.
But you know what's
that happened in the 90s.
But you know what's the problem with that, though? What's different now is the fact that now he has to answer to people with that. He has to answer to the networks about that now. Can you imagine right now what, you know, you give NXT 2.0 It's so dreadful.
Or it sucks to say.
It's like drinking fucking Everclear.
I heard Ciampa say that, and I'm like, nigga, you got to be joking.
Exactly when he said it, I felt as though he had a finger in his ass because to say that shit, it was awful. I was like, what are you doing, sir?
It's a joke.
Vince has to answer to the networks because now it's got to be, bruh, you were doing okay with what you had going on with, you know, the indie guys and that kind of model. Okay, you didn't do well with the AEW because you shouldn't went head-to-head with them. Maybe if you would have went Tuesdays, you'd have had a good run with you guys. Fine. But now they went off. We gave the excuse because, you know, they were supposed to get the hockey and they didn't get it. But whatever. Mm-hmm. But even so, now you're on Solo on a Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. You could have brought up the numbers. And now the big revamp is happening.
Right.
First night, I'm going to say that eyes are going to be on it because, you know, everything new. Everything new and fresh. Everybody keeps, you know, everybody wants to see what's going on. But what happens a couple of weeks down the line and the fucking viewership goes down? What do you think happens?
You know, it's funny because your correlation between WWE and the toxic relationship thing kind of plays in perfectly with what you're saying right now.
Thank you for bringing it up. I thought that was awesome what I did last week.
it was a great reference. It was a great correlation. I can't even hold you on that one. It was perfect. I ain't gonna say everybody. You know, no, it is everybody. Because even guys, if you whatever you like, whatever your preference is, man, woman, when there's a new piece of ass on the block, it intrigues everybody.
Yeah.
Right? So now all the attention is gonna be on that new piece of ass on the block. So you got AEW, which is, lack of a better term, they're the new piece of ass on the block. And they're making waves. And of course, you can't compare them to ECW, but the spirit of ECW, something like that.
Right.
You know, it's like, it was the counterculture, even though they're not counterculture, but they are, AEW is the internet. They're the internet, and Vince McMahon is the yellow pages. Right now, they're listening to what everybody on the internet is saying, taking in bits and pieces, like, okay, cool, you want us to bring Sting, but I'm going to use Sting in my way. Y'all will still like it because you still get your nostalgia, but then I'm also still going to bring in the Sammy Guevara, you know what I'm saying, the Jungle Boys. Like, I'm going to bring all these people in that you probably don't know, and you're going to say, hey, everybody, you know, congregating in one place, and they're just wrestling. It's no dancing. There's no bullshit. And as soon as you give somebody something, it's like the whole Drake and Kanye debate, right? Both of them gave you exactly what you were expecting. But somebody like Tyler, the Creator, gave you something completely different. So now you have something that you can look at, and the numbers are gonna go because, like, there's this new thing. Like, I've seen this, but there's this new thing. I'm gonna keep going to this new thing. This new thing looks good. So now Vince is like, guess what? I got candles on the birthday cake. Y'all just pay attention to these lights. Ooh, it's like, you know, squirrel sees something shiny and just runs into the street. It's like, ooh, look at this. And then everybody's like you said, it's like, oh, you brought this here. That's new. That's great. But 2 weeks later, it's like, still the same shit.
But you know who did. But you know who did that first. But you know who did that first. The whole bringing in the indie guys to mish and match with the stable and legitimate guys. NXT did that.
That's what they were known for.
That's what I'm saying.
They would have given them a chance, Federation.
Right. And this was them in 2014, 2013 during that time. And
OG shit. Yeah.
It was working. So then now we get this. So the new look now is fresh coat of paint. We get now
it
that
looks like a painting
set. it kind of does though. It also looks like it looks like a kid who everybody wants to say that it's the next prodigy, and when you look at his painting, he goes, "What did he spill?" What paint did he spill?
Pretty much.
What did he spill?
I don't want to tell you you're bad, so I'm just going to say, keep trying. keep trying.
Yeah. Oh no, he's doing so good. Look how he uses the brush. He uses it awkwardly, and it's like, no, he's an asshole. He's just being a dick. He's using it. He's using it with his mouth. He's using it with his mouth. Why does he keep drinking the water? The water he's dipping the paint in. Like, what the fuck is wrong with him? No, but
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it goes to that point to where honestly, it's the whole logistic for me is that it's all everything of what we say is what's happening on Raw, what's happening on SmackDown, especially mm-hmm. what's happening on NXT now is we all know that the big purchase is going to happen. Someone is going to buy this. And mm-hmm. Shout out to all the social media outlets out there that are teasing the possibility that Disney buys into this, but I want your thoughts about that. Is there really a possibility that Disney buys this?
The reason why I wouldn't be shocked if Disney did, not to get too deep into conspiracy theories or anything like that.
Believe me, we have enough of that shit going on.
Right. This is not TikTok. We don't need to do that. We all know Disney. If you know, Disney's into a lot of shit. Anybody smart can see that shit. People like us who grew up seeing a lot of the original movies, we know things. You know what I'm saying? Disney, they're all about spreading their money wisely. And I think that they're interested in it because they haven't tackled that ground yet. Like the whole, I guess wrestling will be reality to them. If I'm not mistaken, like in my opinion, it's like reality to them. So there's a chance they would buy it because you think about it. There's so many companies that seen Vince McMahon like, yeah, he was in the positive all through a quarantine, all through the beginning of the pandemic. He was in the positive. That looks good. I may want to be into that. But then there's the other half of the people who are like, you know what? How much longer is wrestling going to be popular? And I don't mean like how long is it going to exist. How much longer is it going to be popular?
I don't even think it's, I don't even think it's wrestling going to be popular. I'm thinking about how long is WWE going to be popular? Because,
agreed.
Because, you know, now that we've seen it the other day, just as you said that now that Ciampa was sitting there talking about NXT 2.0, I almost fucking tasted my own ass when I heard Roman Reigns say, I'm the best sports wrestling entertainer in the business. They're like, you're a fucking wrestler. Stop.
You're a wrestler, bro. It's like, don't call it. What do you say? He doesn't want to call them belts.
Yeah.
He doesn't like the word belt.
Titles.
Like
they're titles.
Titles. It's a belt. It goes around your waist. It's a fucking belt. Like,
no, but
right now.
With the whole Disney thing, it's just like if Disney buys this company, you're basically erase the history of WWE and WWF. It's over.
They have to.
It's erased.
They have to.
It's done.
They'll have to.
You're gonna start from scratch.
I just wouldn't care though.
And you know what? And that's what I was leading up to. That Vince is not mm-hmm. gonna care. He's not gonna care about it.
Bro,
but how does
like a busted pair of Sims.
But how does that like affect everybody? Because at the end of the day, that doesn't make sense for anyone but him. Like he could walk away, die, and have $5 billion in his pocket for his family. But you can you imagine you as an artist and you've mm-hmm. created so much of your paintings, your accessories and all this stuff, and then all mm-hmm. of a sudden you just walked away from your lineage and be like, okay, Painted in Blue now is called Shade and Gray, and I'm out. Fuck this.
Right. I don't want to do this no more. Like that. But, that is probably that. And you know what's fucked up about it? We all know that's just billionaire rich nigga shit. That's all it is. It's fucked up, but that's what it is.
You know, it's true.
That's what it is.
But it's so tough that you have such a library of so much shit and so much stuff, and then mm-hmm. Disney comes in and all of a sudden fucking Goofy is now walking fucking Keith Lee into the ring. It's like, what? This can't happen. No way.
bro.
Mickey Mouse is now a fucking manager to Seth Rollins. I'm being extreme, but it's silly like that.
Listen, Vince McMahon is on the verge of like, listen, I got my hair plugs. I got every whatever little bit of, because his fucking hair plugs look terrible. Like, terrible.
What are you talking about? His facial fucking, his whole facial gear is all looking terrible. Everything would have been. I tell you, he looks like an animatronic from the Hall of Presidents in fucking in Disney. It's awful,
bro. He looks like the fuck, you know, like in Baby's Kids when they had the robotic Chuck E. Cheese characters and shit. Like, he looks like that, you know. And it's my thing is, we all know that Vince is a billionaire, or is he about to be a billionaire, or he's a billionaire?
No, he is a billionaire. He's like, he's at the precipice. Right? Yeah, come Forbes by next year, you'll find out he's fucking billionaire, fucking Vince, or if not, he is. But it's also
yeah.
So I said at least, and this is where shout out to everybody who's been watching us on TikTok, where I've been doing the What If series, to where
great it makes, series, by the way.
Thank you, sir. It makes better sense that NBC Comcast buys it because they've had a greater relationship with them, and they will preserve the history. But it's like you said,
Vince have a reason to, yeah.
Right? But Vince would really—it almost sounds like Vince wouldn't give a fuck if the history is just obliterated. It's not there.
As of right now, where Vince is, if BET came and brought WWE, he wouldn't give a shit. Remember, yo, whatever that dude's name is, the former school dude, Martin, whatever his name is,
he bought
the Wu-Tang album.
Yeah.
And purists, hip-hop purists, we were like, what the fuck are you doing? How can you keep that from the public?
Right.
Like, that needs to be heard eventually, because we care about that.
Right.
The kids that don't understand how important Saturday Night Main Event was, they might get robbed of that stuff.
Yeah.
Because now all we can do is tell stories. You know, you're already on Peacock. You're getting half of the Attitude Era scrubbed.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you already got most of that going. So all we can say is like, yeah, you know, this woman named Fable, she showed her tits all the time. We can just say those things. But there may not be any proof without Google eventually. And then it's going to be off of YouTube. Everything's going to get flagged. Like, we will not have that history. And it's like, For something that matters to so many families, because like us, people like us, wrestling's in our bloodline. We grew up with it. It was everything to us. You know what I'm saying? Before everything became popular, you know what I'm saying? You were a little longer than myself, but like, we were around when Raw started.
Yeah.
You got to see a lot of the original NWA stuff, which, you know, I'm a little jealous of, but that's just for me. You know what I'm saying? But we were there for inception. Saturday Night Main Event started when I was.
Found the luxury of the South more entertaining than New York. Came across you on TikTok, and I said, I like this guy because you're basically calling out the bullshit when it comes to other wrestlers and shit. And I was like, not many guys are doing that this day and age because they're too open to ridicule, and also they're very much in tune and not wanting to fuck up their gig. Why is it that you just said, fuck it, I'm just going to call people on in their shit?
it wasn't even like no crusade or anything like that to call people out. It's just when you see something just so blatantly disgusting and like reckless, especially in wrestling, it make you think of everything else. So I literally just did the video in fun, and next thing you know, people are sending them to me, and I'm blowing up just from my perspective.
Yeah, TikTok is a weird forum. I really got into it not too long ago, and you know, I didn't really think that the wrestling aspect was that much. There was that much of an audience for it because everybody else is doing other shit like politics and, you know, their own goofy dances and shit like that. But I didn't think wrestling was going to be, you know, any on anyone's algorithm and shit. Then all of a sudden I went from like 24 followers to like almost 700. And I'm like, what the fuck just happened here? Was wrestling an easy thing to or subject matter to share on TikTok for you?
Yeah, simply because, like you said, TikTok is weird. I went from 50 to 1,000 followers in a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Right.
And wrestling's just weird, along with TikTok.
It's like, you get the fucking, the buffoonery and the ridiculous, and you also get the shit that fucking makes you shake your head and go, why the fuck am I on here? But then I always go, yeah, I just want to watch one more. Just give me one more.
You start on TikTok at 10 and next thing you know, 3 o'clock in the morning.
How long you been wrestling?
4 years.
Okay, so you're fairly new, fairly fresh. Still getting your boots worn out and worn in. Are you a boots guy, yeah, or are you more of a... You're more of a sneakers and kick pad kind of guy? What kind of footwear are we wearing?
I'm more of a boots guy. I just don't like traditional boots. I like the more boxing boots.
Oh, okay. Because, you know, a lot of guys, you know, they talk about how much they love wrestling and getting into the business and such. But the motherfuckers don't really want to spend money. They don't know that, you know, it's an investment for you to be a wrestler. You gotta, you know, pay your dues one way or another, be it out of pocket or in your ring work. And a lot of guys really don't understand how important the footwear is. So sometimes, you know, they cut the corners, they get the sneakers, the kick pad. You ever started off that way?
No, my trainers, they didn't play that shit.
The old school way.
Yeah, and that's another reason it's so easy for me to spot stuff in my videos and have to talk about.
Right.
Like, my trainers, old school, they notice everything. They don't notice the big stuff. They notice the little stuff.
Yeah, I know. I know a couple of guys up here because I'm tied to a wrestling school up here that's also a promotion. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, House of Glory. It's with Amazing Red and Brian Excel and those guys, and they're very particular with their training and what the guys are to wear. Like, do you have like these certain nuances, certain traditions that still uphold in your wrestling school?
Oh yeah, you still gotta wipe your feet when you get in the ring. You know, just like I said, in my first school that I went to, it's not up anymore. They treated wrestling like it was real. Mm-hmm. So you had to keep that tradition of wipe your feet, respect the ring, that type of stuff, or the ring's not going to respect you.
Is there a lot of wrestling schools in your area? Because in New York City, it was a lull. There wasn't much going on up here. And then, you know, Doghouse and NYWC, they started coming back up, and schooling started, you know, basically progressing little by little. Has Georgia always had some kind of standing with wrestling schools?
Yeah, Georgia's like a mecca for wrestling and wrestling schools. Like, I can name 5 off the top of my head, and that's the major ones. Like, for something, wrestling is just Georgia. It's embedded in everybody. So schools started popping up. And then with the, you know, everybody wants to live in Atlanta. No, anybody who's done wrestling for a year will have a school down here.
Oh, wow. Is it? It sucks because you hear these horror stories of guys who go in to be a part of a school and get trained, and you hear these stories of fucking, you get the trainers and they just want the money. They don't even show you the proper way to take a bump or how to run the ropes, just basic shit. They just tell you to go in the ring and just work it out. I could tell that you've been lucky that you haven't been able to run into schools that way.
Almost, but no.
He's like,
I listened.
He's like, <"Meh." laughs> No, for 4 years, you know, a lot of guys these days will take that as, you know, especially the career men, the guys who've been in it for business, they'll say 4 years. They're like, oh, you know, you're pretty fresh, but you know, these days you got guys who are making it into the show and, you know, with 3 years or less experience. How's it been, you know, the grind going on, you know, going from show to show and, you know, doing it for the hot dog and handshake?
It's good. It's getting better. It's getting better. Like I said, that hot dog and handshake, people act like that's something, that's code for something. It is, but that's a real part of wrestling. You drive 3 hours to a show and all of a sudden everybody gone and you're like, oh, I gotta take something. I'm gonna take this hot dog and handshake to make me feel better.
Yeah, right.
But that's something, I'm glad I encountered it like super early in my career. Because it's just like G.I. Joe, the more you know. And I just have to avoid those because my temper will get me put in jail. So there's a promotion now that like just irks me. They hit you up 3-4 in the morning.
Right.
Hey, can you drive to, hey, I got a show in XYZ and we'd love to have you a part of it. It's 3-4 o'clock in the morning and you hearing them out and they're trying to boost your head up. Then you go to talking payment and they holler $60. Well, you want me to drive 12 hours in, 12 hours back for $60?
Shit.
I love wrestling, but I don't love it that much.
But people, and that's the other thing too, is that they don't understand that, you know, they say the road is where you learn. It's where you get your education. It's where you appreciate when the real dollars start coming in. But it's like, shit, like, you know, it was a different time back then. You know, these days it's, you know, the wrestling landscape is a little different. How did you come in? Were you always a fan as a kid? Because you mentioned, Georgia's been like, I mean, you know, the heartland of wrestling, that whole region. You got the NWAs, the WCWs, everything had passed through there from one way or another, the Mid-Souths and such. How did you gravitate to wrestling at what age?
I've always been like a wrestling fan. It started when I'm originally from Alabama, and it started when I'd be down in the country at my grandma's, and she had, I'm telling my age, they had one of my old TVs, and it got like three channels on a good day when the sun was out and the sky was not a cloud in the sky.
Uh-huh.
But she'd magically always get wrestling on Sundays. Now, I couldn't stand being in the country. I'm a city boy.
Mm-hmm.
I'd get took down there every Saturday and picked up every Sunday evening because my parents, you know, worked in a club, family club, and they'd be out all night. I couldn't stand going down there. But Sunday morning when wrestling come, grandma got the breakfast cooked and we sitting there eating breakfast, watching wrestling together. And it just, you know, kept on. Eventually I moved to Atlanta and at first it was work, work, work. And then I was like, I'm bored. I want something to do. I found wrestling. So I went to a show. It was at a bar, and one of the wrestlers mistook me for another wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
So he got me backstage. I'm just back there, you know, talking to people. He's just telling everybody I'm this person, that person, da, 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 da. And he might have been a little drunk. Like I said, it was at a bar. But the actual person shows up. So I'm like, oh, shit, I ain't supposed to be back here. Blank, 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 blank. So the actual person shows up, they're making a fuss. So the guy turns around, like, I'm going to get you to beat your ass. You need to stop playing. And then one of the owners of the promotion of the show I went to, he comes back. He's like, all right, you drunk ass. We tolerated you for a minute. Because it was funny, because this man been telling you he ain't who you think he is for 45 minutes, and he's still dragging him around. And it just kind of from that point, just me talking to people with my size, he invited me to one of the rest on the show, invited me back to the show, told me to have a school. I went and checked it out. I almost signed up for it, but then I realized it was mainly a school for younger people.
Oh, okay.
And it was a little dangerous. So I kind of just had to wait by my time, wait for the right opportunity for a school to open up to get actual good training. Like I said, there are plenty of schools in Georgia, but a lot of people go to these schools just because they're super cheap.
Oh, yeah, that's the real thing that people just they think the cheaper the better, and it's like, yeah, no, it doesn't work that way. It's people not even consuming about what the quality is when you have actually is an investment in that. By the way, did you look like the guy in any case that he thought that he was mistaking you for?
I did, body-wise. Face-wise, not even close.
Oh, okay, because I was figuring that it was like, you know, old black people look like kind of shit. I thought it was that kind of thing that it was like, yeah.
He was drunk. He was drunk. Like, I might have had dude by 3-4 inches. But we all just look like, with the shirt off, we just look like two guys standing with a pot belly when you drink too damn much.
Right.
Like you're built, but your stomach's sticking out.
Right.
And you're like, God damn.
But, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, the whole bar thing, because that became like a real happening up here in New York sometime a little bit before. Before the pandemic happened, before COVID, where we saw a lot of venues out here, since in New York City and especially in Brooklyn, it got gentrified. So we started seeing a lot of these bars opening up, and you know, we had certain companies that were passing through even before Joey Ryan, before he got his ass fucking blackballed out the business. You know, they were passing through in bars, and I thought it was something that was cool because I enjoy a good beer and such, and I enjoy watching wrestling. That's a good mingling of the two. Was it always like that down south, that they always found a way like to throw wrestling at a bar? And I know, you know, the backyard outdoor stuff is something there, but what was a bar, a certain kind of event down there?
I honestly didn't know you could throw wrestling events in bars until I moved down here. Because, like I said, I'm Alabama. The only time I saw wrestling, it was always in the arena, come on TV, WCW Superstars, whatever WWF had on Sunday at 8 in the morning, right before church, whatever those shows were. That was the only thing I ever knew.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was like, hey, we're at a bar, we can stand beside the ring and touch people and talk and real, like, authentic atmosphere. I love bar shows.
Nah.
Because people show you the real you when they're drunk.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So that's how you know if they're feeling you or not. Like some people, you know, like some of us smart, we only cheer what we want to happen instead of enjoying the show. Bar shows, people go to enjoy the show. They don't care about the wrestling. But it has to be on point, because the moment you fuck up, they don't call you out. But they're just there for a good time and want to be entertained.
Yeah, it's when I went to my first bar show, it was an educational experience, I must say. It was interesting, because you know, you go to a regular indie show, there's, you know, there's beers and such, but it's a little bit different, especially the way that it's set up. It's almost very pit fighter-ish with the ring.
Yeah.
It's kind of that feeling. And like you said, it's almost a little bit more intimate, where the guys are a little bit more closer and interactive and such. Since then, have you partaken in bar wrestling matches?
I have. I'm not going to say I haven't. I have. I haven't got to the extreme where I'm all over the counters and all that. But like I said, I love me a good bar show. So anytime I get the opportunity to get in the ring and at a bar show, I'm hopping all over it. Because that, like I said, it's very interactive. My first bar show, I saw A.R. Fox do a backflip off of 500-pound man onto Jimmy Rave.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that motherfucker's talented, man. I've seen him live a couple of times. I fucks with A.R. Heavy.
And I'm like, did he just do a backflip off this fat man titties?
It's
every show I went to after, like, AR would find a way to jump off this man somehow. It looked like it was the most exercise this man ever got when AR picked him up. Not picked him up, but guided him into position. He's like, you stay here. Because I got a feeling I'm going to need to jump off your fat ass.
We've always said that A.R. Fox looks like a guy in Coney Island who would play handball for like 8 hours straight and bust ass. Like, he knew.
Against himself, yes.
He's that fit, that he has that look. And he's always calling out somebody by their nickname. It's like, Jun, get your ass on this court so I can bust your ass. Like, we always give him
exactly.
Shit.
Exactly. And he out there sweating it up, got on Black Forces with the camo jeans. It's 300 degrees outside, and he out there ain't even breaking a sweat.
Yeah, exactly.
How you know when you win? When the ball pop or the wall break.
Exactly. He's like, go get me Gatorade. Go get me Gatorade. Just run and get me a Gatorade. No, it's cool. It's cool to hear that you get into the game by happenstance. Just, by the way, guys, Lamar Diggs sitting in with us here on Turbo Tabloid. Met this young man on the TikTokers. It's funny because you are your first interview of a wrestler that I met on TikTok. Everybody else I'll get through Instagram, Twitter, and such. You are the first man, first wrestler that I get through TikTok. And
that's good, because I'm horrible and I can't work any of those other socials. TikTok's the only one I can work correctly. I don't understand how.
I've been doing the TikTokers, like I said, for a couple of months. Still getting used to it, such and such. Only social media medium that I cannot get into is the Twitter. I leave that. I actually pay somebody to take care of that shit for me, because apparently there's still a following there. And I go, yeah, I'll leave that to you guys. You guys deal with that. But you know, as a wrestler, social media is important, right?
It is. And like I said, I'm glad I've learned to work TikTok, because I'm always banned on Facebook. Twitter's just weird. There's so much stuff happening on Twitter. I just like, look, my match was 12 minutes. I can't give you a new clip every 30 seconds.
Right.
And Instagram, you know, I can't compete with Instagram because it's like the prerequisite for OnlyFans. So TikTok just puts me in front of people. And it's just easier for me for some reason. Like, I'll be at work and I'll be bored. I boot cars for a living. I'll be at work. I'll be bored. And I'm like, I'm going to make a TikTok.
Right.
All I got to do is open the app, look at my messages, and somebody sends me a video. Here, we've done the work for you.
Yeah, I'm still trying to get used to how to do the whole meshing in of music and cutting and such. I even go to the extremes. It's like, yeah, I might as well just go on the computer and do it this way. It's a little bit more easier for me. But I find it fun. Thank you. To be a part of this world. Speaking of going back to the bar wrestling and such, have we met any nice young ladies during a bar wrestling match in which you've have we entertained ourselves with a pint as well as a young woman at the, you know, after a match?
I'm almost still a quote from John Cena. I'm not going to say that I haven't, but you can't. I'm not going to say that I have, but you can't. Whatever the fuck he said. I'm not going to say that I haven't, but you can't prove that I have.
Right.
Because, like I said, they're all rats until you kiss them and they turn into your wife. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But like I said, I'm not going to say I haven't.
There have been many who have turned their hole into a housewife. We've had these sales.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I've that's one thing that I've possibly envied about the wrestlers of the day, because you know people can say about wrestling being a male orientated sport, but I've seen my fair share of women go to a show, and there have been some who have been very entertaining in the vision department. There have been some that it's like, oh, who knew you were a wrestling fan? Okay. And I've seen my fair share of wrestlers have a cocktail or two with some of the ladies. Me being just a regular wrestling podcaster, I don't get those benefits. I don't get those gifts that you guys do. Speaking of gifts and benefits, how's the transition been going on after pandemic? Or can't even say after pandemic because we're still in it. But opening back up and such. How's it been with the fan base slowly but surely coming back?
I'm gonna compare it to a toddler finding out they're tall enough to reach a light bulb.
Oh, okay, I like that.
It's start stop, and Georgia's one of the places where there's so much talent that anytime if you're not snowballing to gain momentum, this pandemic just cuts it off and you gotta start all over.
Right.
So you have to find your niche, and then it sometimes be like in your mind, I want to be on the biggest show in Georgia. Well, show got canceled, COVID. God damn it. Hey, shit show still running. Let's go do shit show.
Have you had to do these outdoor in the trucks flatbed matches and shit like that?
No, hell no. That's one of my things. You learn your craft and your trade. You pay a lot of money to do it, but you don't learn your craft to have a match on the back of a Ford truck with three boards sitting in between. And like I said, I got real famous for one video. The one with the guys training in the ring in the back is half a ring, and they're doing that spot. And I'm just like, no, that's horrible. Why would I get trained, pay thousands of dollars to learn how to do this right, just to come do it in the back of the woods and risk injuring myself?
And that's what a lot of people tend to, they don't as wrestlers, they don't put together the fact that, people go, well, you got to pay your dues one way or another. It's like, yeah, but my body is my moneymaker, and I got to make sure that it stays in tune. I can't fuck it up. I'm going to naturally get hurt in the ring. I don't need to give this any more ammunition by doing dumb shit.
You learn in the army, you don't set yourself up for failure. So the first thing we do when we get in the ring, if you're taught right, you wipe your feet off, you run the ropes, and you check out the ring. Mm-hmm. If your ring ain't what I consider good enough for my body, I might be wording this wrong. I'm going to find a way to not work while working, or I'm just not going to work, period. Because, you only get one body. And you go out there and you put your body on the line to entertain these people. But I'm not taking unnecessary risks like that. It's just dumb.
Yeah, I know. It's tough because, you get a lot of guys who they love to have those stories. I remember working in a 6x6 ring and the ropes were real ropes, and they didn't even have a middle rope. They just it's like, why would you work that shit? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? But
that's my dream. I had the opportunity to work Bam Bam Pillow. He ate concessions at a WCW show once, and now he's big down here, and that's all he had. Yeah, that ain't nobody feeling that shit. I have to correct myself. I did work a show like that once.
Oh, you did?
Yes. But here's the thing. It was for Red Bull. And they were doing some kind of pop-up, music night or whatever. Mm-hmm. They finally come to Atlanta. I don't remember who the artist was. But they're real famous now. It's one of those mumble rappers. And he's like, they're asking what kind of set design he wanted. He's like, I want a ring and I want actual wrestlers. So Red Bull just searches wrestling schools in Google. Finds the first wrestler that pops up. He calls me. He's like, hey, Red Bull wants us to do wrestling. They're going to pay us this much money. And I'm like, damn. Now, mind you, this is like my second year in the business. This is more money than I've made in 2 years.
Right.
They don't. And he was like, the guy said, it's not going to be your normal ring, but it's going to be a ring. And the artist just wants you to wrestle for 30 minutes. And I'm like, shit, I don't care. It's a ring. You giving me four figures to go out there and wrestle and entertain this crowd. It's like 10,000 people there. We get there. Guy has SmackDown logo floating in the sky. We get in the ring. It's made out of bull ropes.
Oh, my God.
Steel, some kind of steel grating. And they made ring posts. And I'm like, oh, shit. What the fuck did I get myself into? So me and him, we're trying to figure out how we're going to work for 30 minutes in this hard-ass shit. It had padding on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't a wrestling ring. It was four poles, some steel, whatever beams, whatever you want to call them. And that's it. And actual bull ropes taped red. So I was like, well, we'll do that. We're going to do this. We're just going to fight for 30 minutes and we're going to take as less bumps as possible.
I was going to say, somebody had to call it that. We're not going to be bumping too much in here.
We get out there. We all hyped up. We've been drinking, smoking, drugs everywhere. And I'm like, oh shit. I'm starting to feel myself. He's feeling this stuff. He's like, fuck, man. All these people want to see us wrestle. I'm like, bro, three bumps. That's all you getting. Three. I'm trying to remain sober, but everything's kicking in. Three. Adrenaline's pumping. Going out in 10 minutes. Three. Keep telling him. He's getting more hyped than ever. We get out there, and instead of having us wrestle, they decide we're going to go three rounds until somebody gets pinned. I was like, cool. The first round was fun. We just sitting around there. We look like two big-ass black guys fucking oil wrestling. And we're sweating. The damn lights are on us. He's in his full gear. And I'm sitting in there in a onesie. I'm in regular attire for wrestling, singlet. But the crowd's calling it a onesie because half the crowd, they're just there for the artists. They don't know shit about wrestling.
Right.
They just want to see people hit each other. And he gives me my first suplex onto that steel. I'm like, what the fuck? Is it in me?
Probably shook the chitlins out of everyone.
But the crowd got so hyped for it because I'm 6'3". At the time, I was 360 pounds.
Oof. Oof.
But So when he suplexed me, they popped like shit. Next thing you know, he's feeling the energy. He absorbing the energy like he Goku. And the shit's fooling up me. I'm like, no, this the kind of reaction we getting? Next thing you know, we done slammed each other probably 50 times each, trying to out-pop each other. And they finally called the match off at the 30-minute mark on the dot. I literally It was the best, worst thing ever. But that energy from that crowd and the drugs, really similar. When it wore off, my body hated me.
But the money was good, though.
The money was awesome.
Yeah,
they paid cash.
Oh, even better. Even better.
We came back from the show. We're back there changing. Women back there. The artist is back there. He's like, I don't want to go on after y'all, too. I said, fuck, I need 15 minutes to get ready. He's like, God damn. Back there, he's doing Zannies. He hands us this big ass bottle of I don't know what the fuck. And we just start turning up. Because we, like I said, this is our biggest crowd ever. We ain't never made this much money. White guy comes back with two envelopes just full of money. Got to count it, make sure it's all there. Y'all good? Y'all good? Sign this waiver. We can put it on the website. All right, y'all. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Wow.
That was it. I'm like, we have to hunt you down to get the money?
Right. Right. You're usually looking for the promoter at the end of the night.
I don't have to wait an extra hour, eat up all the hot dogs and sodas. And they're like, no, y'all stay back here. Enjoy yourself. Dark room's right there if you find something to do. Okay.
Wow. Yeah. He's gonna lead me to just asking you, like, what names that we would know that you've been in the ring with that you were just like, shit, I'm actually wrestling with this guy, or I'm sharing the ring with this person.
Oh, the laundry list. Eddie Kingston, Cedric Alexander, Drew Galloway. Who else has come through here? Buff Bagwell, Raven, all the WCW guys. Ernest the Cat Miller is my favorite. I've been in the room. I did a movie with Ming. No, Haku, one of them. I can't remember.
Right.
God damn it, I can't remember which one it was.
Well, Ming and Haku is basically the same guy.
Might be better. Yeah, so I am saying it right. Shit. So yeah, that lets you know something right there. let's see, who else? Who's the biggest person I could think of?
Well, you said Drew Galloway. I mean, Mr. McIntyre is, you know.
But I've also been in there with Keith Lee.
That must have been interesting. A 6'3", 300-pound guy in a ring with Keith Lee. That must have been interesting.
Keith Lee. You know how they say Keith Lee's just like voice not meant for his body?
Right.
His attitude is the same. He is a chill, cool person. And like most of these people, I was either in the ring just to get beat up till the real person came out.
Right.
Or battle royal type situation.
You was that guy that had that was in that battle royal situation where the 20 man you're running.
Yeah. And I would go out my way to get hit by the famous person.
Right.
Like we're filming the spot with Haku for a movie. Him, Glacier, and then a bunch of the older WCW guys got similar to the wrestler coming out. I don't know when, because they reshot it like twice. And, all the smaller people trying to figure out spots to do in a battle royal. And the older people, they're trying to figure out how to convince these younger dudes to do something to get that moment in the rumble. It's a rumble, but it's also a movie. And Haku just comes up to me, says, Ray says you can jump really high. We got to figure out something special so I can make sure I get my time in the movie, brother. And I'm like, Ray Lloyd is one of my trainers, Glacier. And I'm like, shit. But I know if I spend time with Haku, he eventually gonna chop the shit out of me.
Oh yeah. Oh, he will. Definitely will. He definitely will.
And he's he still has his strength from when he was like in his prime. So I'm like, shit, but I want this TV time because it's guaranteed. Like, we came up with me taking a Tongan death grip over the top rope onto the floor. Just kind of like a choke slam swing type thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, shit, I don't want to do this. But I'm like, shit, if I don't, I ain't going to be in the movie. And I'm like, plus Glacier just told Haku, I can jump. I'm the person to come to, you know. You know when your brain starts overthinking?
Right.
And I'm just like, damn, shit. Okay, we do this. We're only going to get it once. And he's like, yeah, because you was a big motherfucker. And I'm like, yeah, and that's a long-ass fall to be free-falling.
For this big motherfucker, like.
Yeah, because the way he did it, it was like, no, like, we had no stuntmen. So it was just, us, if we hit the floor, we hit the floor. So he goes over and says something to the producer, and the producer loves it, director, whatever the hell you call him. He's like, that's definitely going in the movie, and I hope y'all get it right the first time. Now, me never being in the movie before, I'm like, I hope so too. If they don't, they'll fix it in editing. We'll do it the first time. He's like, come on. Shit, somebody walked through the frame.
Oh.
Do it again.
Oh.
I was like, what? And he looks at me like, sorry, brother. But we do it again. He's like, cut. I'm like, shit, we fucked up. He's like, I thought that was the best one. He's like, it was, but we couldn't get a good angle. Damn cameraman was out of place. I'm like, shit.
A spot that you was already skeptical about taking, now you're doing it for the third time.
Now, mind you, we've been shooting this scene probably 2 hours. And we're finally at something that they're going to spotlight in the video. I'm tired as fuck. My back hurt because I didn't know how to bump out of the ring. Because my body has what I call autocorrect. When I go upside down, it instantly wants to land on its feet.
Right.
It's like when you used to see Kane and Undertaker just backflip out the ring.
Right. They just automatically.
That's my body when I'm upside down. But for this one, I had to take a flat back bump to the outside. Like, no tumble. He Tongan death grip. And mind you, he doesn't even have like a choke on you. Run across the ring, overhead swing out the ring. Like, I'm fussing, but I'm young. I ain't got nothing to say to these camera people because I'm on day set.
Right.
And we finally get it right. I was so happy. And I just gave the director this look. I'm like, I'm done. That's all you're getting.
you better chop this up in an editing room and do something with it. You better make it look good because you can't take that bump too many fucking times. Shit.
Yeah. And then he, you know, we finally finish up. That ended up being the last scene of the day. 6 months later, he's like, XYZ happened. Blah, blah, blah. We need to film the entire Rumble over. And mind you, I'm in catering. Not in catering. Mind you, like when they told us this, they specifically told certain people who were already in there that we're going to shoot it over. And I was one of them. I'm like, shit. We get back on set. They're giving a speech. And the first thing they want to get is the Ming and me spot. So I come in there, I'm like, fuck. Ming's late as hell. I don't know what the hell he's doing. 2 hours late. So they filmed around it. He gets there, he comes in, he's all nice. He's like, I don't want to refilm this shit. Should have got it right the first time. He looks at the ref, he says, you remember We did this spot 3-4 times. I'm not tossing his big ass 3-4 times no more. You better get it right on the first try. And I don't know if he was defending me or he was just tired of the shit. But we got it right on the first try.
And plus,
after we reshot it.
Plus, Haku's not a guy that you really don't want to fuck with. Like, we've heard stories. We've heard stories of him breaking out of handcuffs and fucking going to gouge people's eyes out. Like, we pretty much. Yeah,
every one of them are true. He is the most low-key, laid-back person ever. But he's just like, if he's like a light switch. When he decides he wants to do something and you've pissed him off, you're not going to stop him.
Oh, man. So you listen, I got to get you back on again, man. From a guy who's been in the business just for 4 years, Lamar Diggs seems to be very well versed in the world of wrestling and other outside activities, man. We got to get you back on again, sir, soon enough. Just let everybody know where they can get you out on social media and what you got upcoming for yourself.
You can catch me on social media, starting with the TikTok, Lamar Diggs or D Reigns. I don't even remember what the hell it is. pretty sure it's Lamar Diggs. If not, it's DareiGns. Simply because right now I have no idea what it is. I'm a little high too.
I will be soon. I will be buzzing soon.
You catch me on Facebook, Lamar Diggs, Twitter, Lamar Diggs Pro, Instagram, Lamar Diggs. We got t-shirts. We got pins. Get your merch. I will be the next couple weeks. I'll be in Georgia, Alabama, Florida. I don't have my calendar with me right now. Friday, I'll be in Covington, Georgia at PCW. We're doing a confetti walk. That is my Negro show. If you know what that means, come out, have a good time.
That's my Negro show. I like that.
Because it is professional wrestling to the T, but it's on some Negro shit.
That would be my kind of fucking show to go to, definitely.
This whole next show is named after Fetty Wap. It's going to be a party. The main event is going to be a confetti something match. Simply because two of our Nightmare Factory guys broke up and that was a gimmick. I don't know. Like I said, it's some Negro shit. Saturday, I'm going to be in Gadsden, Alabama, close to Birmingham, Spartan Pro Wrestling. Sunday. What the hell am I doing? I have Sunday off next week.
Look at that.
Fuck it. That's a rarity right there. I will be somewhere Sunday. I'll have it on TikTok simply because my body ain't used to not working on Sundays. I will find a show by then. If you want to book me for your wrestling match, LamarDiggsPro@gmail.com, or you can message me on any of the socials mentioned earlier. Just don't do it at 3:00 in the morning.
You know what? just for that, I might know someone who would like to see you wrestle in their promotion. I have a connection. Maybe we could get you to come up to the Northeast. Let's see what we can do there.
Look, I'm gonna put it out like this. I'm never driving to New York again, but you can make it make sense. You can get me there.
All right.
I hate New York.
All right, sir. Take care, and I'm going to reach out to you again real soon. I'll let you know when this goes up. And are you going to be watching All Out tonight?
I was actually supposed to be at All Out tonight. I'm kind of pissed about that. But I will be watching it. I'm rooting for QT. That's the only match I care about. That's one of my trainers.
Yeah, I know. And as a matter of fact, we didn't get to talk about it. But next time I have you on, we'll discuss that you're at the Nightmare Factory.
We ain't even make it to the Nightmare years. It gets better.
I know. So. I know. I'm definitely going to have you back on really, really soon, sir.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.
All right, guys. When we come back, much, much more for us here at Turnbuckle Tabloid. And our guy, Lamar Diggs. Check him out on TikTok. The guy's great. He's hilarious there. Check you guys in a second.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.